listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power. Power. Wonder-working power. In the blood of the Lamb, there is power. Power. Wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Reading once again today from Romans chapter 1, the first 8 verses. We read this last week, but I'd like to read it again. Possibly reading a few more verses. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom also ye are the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Let's pray that we have understanding of this, especially the message of Christ. Reading again that third verse concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God with power. Yes, the Son of God with power. Let's pray that we'll not only understand it, but also through this word be given faith and be given that power by faith in God, in Christ. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come giving thanks in his name for what we have read concerning thee, concerning Christ, concerning the blessing also given to this church at Rome at this time, these many, many years ago. We know, Father, that we can say with Paul, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we know that that power that was described here and was manifest in Rome can also be given to us today and to be given throughout the world mightily, suddenly. And we pray that it might be given. We know it has been given before. We know it has conquered sinners. It has comforted saints. It has taken many out of darkness into the marvelous light of Christ. And we pray for that today. Through that power of Christ, even thy power and the power of the gospel, that saints might be revived, that as that early church was told to wait and tarry until it was endued with power from on high, that that may come again to the church, that it may give glory to thee, that it may then be a witness throughout the world and be able to rightly preach the gospel of Christ for thy glory, for the good of the world and ourselves as well. We pray, Father, that this might take place for the reviving of the church, for the salvation of the lost, for the good of our homes, for the good of our nations, that it might bring peace on earth, goodwill toward men, all through Christ. We pray also for the temporal blessings that are needed, for those in sorrow to be comforted, those in sickness to be given healing, and if not, to be given comfort, to be given teaching, to be given also that which is needed to prepare for death. We pray for those in hunger, that they might know thy mercy, those homeless, those, Father, under the ravages of war, that they might have blessing today and peace might come soon. We pray for those that are suffering in hunger, those in lonesomeness. We pray for the troubled and broken homes, that they might be healed, and the children in those homes, that they might be taught, that they will not follow the evil ways of their parents. We pray that thou wilt teach the church also, that it will teach rightly in regard to all these things through Christ. Amen. I'd like to consider these words, and especially the message of Christ. Once again, we read this last week, and we considered some of the thoughts from it and from the other parts of Scripture, the many references that we can find throughout Scripture, even as it could be said of Christ in the volume of the book, it is written of me. And it is from Genesis to Revelation, all the message of Christ. And I would think today especially of that word given there, with power. With power. When the Lord Jesus left this earth, he said to the apostles and others who were there with him, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Yes, he has that power, all power. Here we read in that fourth verse, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. There are many other references that we could follow in that statement. It begins already in the first part, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. It took power to make Paul a servant. It took the mighty power of Christ to stop him on the road to Damascus. Some would say Paul could have said no. It's even foolish to think that when he is one of the predestined ones. God says, whom Paul wrote later in this same letter, whom he predestined, he called, and whom he called, he justified, and whom he justified, he glorified. An unbreakable chain from God's plan to glorification. We can also think of it as the Lord Jesus said to Ananias, he is a chosen vessel unto me. Also what Paul wrote here in verse 16 of this first chapter of Romans, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, through the Jew first and also to the Greek. We might try to interpret that and say, well, it depends on our believing. Our believing depends on God's power. We can read in the book of Acts how they believed through grace. We can read in Ephesians chapter 1 that it was to the glory of his grace. And it is all by grace. And if we think that we can interpret this in that way, we need to realize that we do not know the God of power, even to the world. Paul is writing here and saying, they are without excuse. If we go a little further into this first chapter, we read verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They have a measure of truth without excuse. And that truth is shown in nature. Listen to verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. His eternal power. Eternal power. It is not always shown in the same way. It is not always shown in grace. Sometimes it's shown in judgment. Other times in mercy, in grace. Sometimes to more people at once than at other times. But it is always there. He is the eternal God, and he has an eternal power. If we go a little further, in Paul's letter to the church at Rome, think of the ninth chapter and its teaching. Some would just say, well, this concerns Israel, not anyone else, but even if it did, it still would show God's power. But first of all, let's realize that besides speaking of Israel, in Romans 9, 10, 11, it speaks of the Gentile world. Listen to verse 17 of chapter 9. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, Moses writing it, God saying it, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. When God did what he did with Pharaoh, overthrew him in the Red Sea, when the spies came to Jericho, they knew. The fear of God had fallen on them. God's name was known because of what he did. For the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee. Pharaoh had said when Moses spoke to him, who is the Lord that I should obey him? Pharaoh learned, as we sometimes say, the hard way. In rebellion, died in that rebellion. God showing his power to the last moment, opening the Red Sea for Israel to go through, closing the Red Sea on Pharaoh and his host. But then listen to what he says further. Thou wilt say then, why doth he yet find fault? Who hath resisted his will? Verse 19 of Romans 9. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Hath not the potter power over the clay? As a potter in a human way would have the power with his hands over clay to make vessels, God has that with you and me. He can make us to honor or dishonor. Dishonor would be justice. He could dishonor us rightly before men, before himself, expose our sin, leave us go till the day of judgment, and then judge us in all of our sins, and we will know that we are worthy of hell. And we are. Hell and our sin are the same. A perfect balance. Hell will not be any worse than our sin. And hell will not be any less than our sin. But God can pluck us as brands from the burning, and he can make of the same lump a vessel unto honor. He did that with Paul, who was writing this. And Paul goes on to say, with much long suffering, he endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. There's some that will say, well, this is only temporal. What we read here is only of the nation of Israel, only the here and now. Listen to that, which he had afore prepared to glory. And then who? Verse 24, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. Paul speaking as a Jew, writing to the Gentiles. God had of both made vessels of glory by his power. As he wrote later to the Ephesians, also Gentiles, quickened together with Christ. The Christ that Isaiah speaks of and says, when we saw him, there was no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected of men. That Christ is the one that we must be made to sit together with him, even in heavenly places, here on earth, by faith, knowing the blessing of knowing him, being made to know him. As Paul said, going back to chapter 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. When Paul wrote to the Colossians, he could write to them and state that it was God's power that did this. Colossians 1, verse 11, strengthened with all might according to the glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. He wanted them to walk in that way. Why? Verse 13, because God had delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The power of darkness, the power of Satan, the power, as was described in the letter to the Ephesians, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Or as Paul writes to Timothy, of who are taken captive by Satan at his will. God can deliver. And here he speaks of it to these Colossians, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Why were we in the darkness? Why were they in the darkness? Because we had no power and no willingness. Both. David states in Psalm 110, thy people will be willing in the day of thy power. Yes, it takes God's power to make us willing. We talk about free will. Free like a stone to go down. Free to go away from God. But that will is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And it shows no better relationship to Christ, who said, you will not come to me that you might have life. Another place, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Then it speaks of those who had received him, to whom he gave power to become the sons of God. Power. Yes, power. Part of God's way of salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Yes, and the believing will be along with the preaching of the gospel, along with the work of the Spirit, along with the conviction, along with the using the law as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, shutting us up under the law, and as Paul said to the Galatians, to the faith that is afterwards to be revealed, all in God's hand. God the potter. We the clay. I've had people say, well, then, is man a robot? No. He's a rebel. I was a rebel. A rebel against the truth. A rebel against the gospel and how God uses it to save a sinner. We want to take the credit. We want to do as those that Paul was speaking of in Romans chapter 10. They going about to establish their own righteousness. We not only seek to establish our own righteousness, we seek to hold on to it. We will not let it go. As Thomas Boston, an old Presbyterian preacher, said, we're like those in a drowning ship. First, we want to cling to the ship of self-righteousness. And if the ship sinks, we'll cling to it, every broken piece, like a drowning man. So we get our hands pried loose, we do it with our teeth, all to self-righteousness. Clinging, clinging, clinging. Yes, we'll cling to sin, different sins. But most of all, self-righteousness. Christ said, if I had not spoken, they had not had sin. Paul said, if I had not known, I had not had sin until I knew the law. And the law said, thou shalt not covet. Thy sin revived and I died. God does that with power. That's why Paul could write to the Thessalonians. Not only the Colossians here delivered us from the power of darkness. When he wrote to the Thessalonians, he speaks of God's election to those people, God's predestination. And he says, of them at Thessalonica, knowing your election. How did he know it? He said, we came not in word only, but in power, with the Holy Ghost and much assurance. If anybody rebels against it, we'll just say, the door is open. You can go to God in repentance. Confess all your sin. Admit you deserve hell. Confess how you need Christ. Admit that you're a lost sinner. Would you do all of that? Have you done all of that? We find many excuses. God said of those in nature, they are without excuse. How much more are we without excuse who have the Bible? Who says that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. That excludes you, me. And it puts us in the place that we need the power. The power, as Paul said, even after he was saved, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Yes, from the beginning to the end. It is power, as we sang, there's power in the blood, there's power in the blood. Would you be free from the power of sin? There's power in the blood of Christ. Yes, and it was God's power that raised him from the dead. Paul says, separated me from the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The Scriptures tell us of it. They tell us in the narrative of it, like Pharaoh, you can go and read the whole story in the book of Exodus. Read it. And then you can read it where Paul says, and God said through the pen of Paul, for this purpose have I raised thee up, that I might make my power known. The door was open for Pharaoh, but he hardened his heart. And just let me warn you of the danger that if we harden our heart, God may give us over to a reprobate mind. He also tells us that in this first chapter of Romans. For this cause God that gave them over to vile affections, says even verse 28, as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Just remember, we sin first. God doesn't begin with the innocent and make one vessel unto honor, another to dishonor. He begins with sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone. Put that question out of your mind. Not, am I a sinner? The answer is, yes, you are. You ought to know it by the fact of it in your own life. And you can know it by the Scripture. And the only way we will rightly know it will be by the Scripture. That's why Christ said that repentance and remission of sin should be preached among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He gave that message to the apostles. And then what did he tell them? Even them at that time, after 3 years of training with Christ, 3 years of walking with him, 3 years of seeing his power in miracles, healing, raising the dead, feeding 4,000, feeding 5,000, walking on the sea, over and over, miracle after miracle. And yet on the day of resurrection, they were in unbelief. He had to upbraid them. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And then he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He gave them the power to believe. But he told them to tarry till they would have the power to speak, the power to witness, the power to go forth as they did. A number of days later, when the Holy Spirit came, then in a mighty power to enable them to preach the gospel, to preach it and preach it and preach it without being stopped. Read it. Acts chapter 2. All the fulfillment of Scripture. All the power of God through Christ. All the way in the book of Revelation where we read they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. All by His wonderful, wonderful power. Let me give you that last. Our time is gone. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. Oh, do you know it?
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise